For average people, for most people in the world, today is Monday. But for people who understand greatness, for people who are committed to being the best, for people who are committed to getting the most done, today is not Monday. Today is really
Jaguars Monday with JP Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco.
You can't admit when you are just making stuff up to fit your stupid narrative. He is so dense and looking.
No, I'm not. You're dense.
Now, to kick off Jaguars Monday, here's JP Shadrick.
We're off and running Jaguars Monday. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco. Your calls in the second hour, 355-NFL-1. We'll get the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night a little bit later. Quarterbacks, Blake Bortles is the starter. Pete Prisco crushed the Jags today in his Monday musings. We'll get to the O-line
I didn't
talk.
Read it.
Oh, boy. We'll get to the O-line talk.
Hold on. I got to find it. How do I find this?
It wasn't that bad.
It was pretty bad.
Well, because I did the historical workup on there drafting
bad.
A quarterback.
How do I find it?
CBS Sports app. You don't have it yet?
Yeah, I got
What's
it.
The matter with you?
I got
it's free.
It.
It's free.
I have it. It's
you know,
but
by the way, we come in here, JP, today, and Tony's a little sullen. He had a bad weekend.
Why is that?
Why is that?
Why are you so down?
Why are you sullen?
Turn that frown upside down.
Yeah, you are.
Why am I sullen, Pete?
Because your high school team got its butt beat.
Okay.
This team didn't look good on Thursday night. You got college football coming up. You're not sure if your son.
I'm very positive about my college team.
Well, yeah. You play who do you play? Western Michigan this week, of course.
Be positive.
So I'm very sure of it.
Are you sure of Florida State against Alabama?
I think it's going to be a good game.
I do too.
I have no idea who's going to win though.
No.
None.
And then
NC North State. That's
a good game, NC State, South Carolina.
NC State will win.
Look at that.
Wow.
Spoken like
they
a
got a defensive line.
A Wolfpack.
They have
one of the best defensive lines in the country.
Let me ask you this, though. Like in 2 years, if one son is starting for Florida State and one son is starting for NC State, what do you do?
Just root hard for the offense.
High scoring game. That's the hope.
Yeah. But yeah, he's a little sullen today.
Yeah, he's a little.
Well,
down.
I mean, it's.
Yeah.
Not
I didn't. You really think I killed the Jaguars?
Crushed
today?
Him. Here's the. Hold on. Here's the.
Or
subtitle.
Here's the headline.
Here's the subtitle right here. Jaguars should have signed Kaepernick. Patriots will be fine. In a quarterback league, no franchise has proven more inept at drafting passers in the top 10 than the lowly Jags. That's before you even get to the damn article.
Well, on the app, it says Pete Prisco. Jags are doomed with Bortles.
That's not what I said. I didn't write
That's
that.
That's the editor.
That's not what I wrote. I wrote, and I did. I did the research. I went back from the merger to now. Three teams have drafted quarterbacks in a span of 12 years in the top 10. Okay, mm-hmm. The Bengals did it, right?
Okay.
Well, the last one they drafted was Carson Palmer, so they hit him. They missed on the first two and hit that one. The Titans did it, and their last one is Mariota. Looks like a hit.
Maybe.
Yeah, it looks like a hit
for now.
Okay. The Jaguars did it, and their last one is Bortles. So if Bortles doesn't suddenly, miraculously become something that he hasn't shown, then that means they busted out on three top 10 quarterbacks, and it's never happened. The only team to have it happen since the merger. That makes them the worst drafting quarterback team in the league. Can you argue that? The facts are there.
Can't argue statistics, I guess.
Right, Tony?
Right? Are you reading this live on the air, Tony?
He is. It wasn't that bad, was it?
Nah, it's
vintage Prisco.
It's not nice.
I mean.
The reality is this. The Jaguars picked Blake Bortles, which, based on what I saw going into Thursday night, and I know Pete's going to argue this, but last Monday night, Pete and I both thought that Chad Henne would be the starter for Houston.
I think a lot of people
thought that.
Okay.
We did think that. He should have been.
And on that Thursday night, I said, to me, it was a coin flip. And if I had to choose before Thursday, I probably would have gone with Henne.
I don't know. There were people out there taking tally of everybody in the media who they thought should start, and yours was Henne.
Okay. Maybe
that's what you said. Yeah,
Thursday.
You
before
said
the game,
was,
Thursday.
Yeah.
After the game, I still thought it was a coin flip, but based on what this team is, I think Bortles gives them, and I said this, a ton more upside as long as you're going to live with the – what we've seen historically, the downside of the turnovers, which we again saw on Thursday night, an interception. But his ability to extend plays, he's much better in the pocket than Chad. The athletic ability and the way this offensive line, and it's not just me saying it, Doug Marrone said it, is struggling. You need a mobile quarterback who can move and do something with his legs. And Blake, by far, is much better with that. The question is the decision-making – Can he improve that? And the accuracy, can he improve that? Those are the big questions.
Well, Chad Henne's decision-making wasn't exactly great on Thursday either. Fans might not have noticed, but on a play toward the goal line, he had a guy clearing in the back of the end zone that should have been an easy anticipation throw for a touchdown. And there was no pressure on that play. And he stepped up and ducked his head in the pocket. It was, to me, you can't play that way. Now, Blake makes bad decisions. There's no doubt about it. We've seen that. You said the decision in the middle of the field was a good one, but he was late with the throw. I would agree with you. It wasn't a great throw. It wasn't that he was late.
Well, I'm not going to say he's late, but it didn't have enough zip
right
behind him.
But it still should have been caught. And in my mind, I think Hearn should have caught the ball. But
it never got to him. But
Put your hands out. Put your hands out and catch the ball.
He's got two guys around him.
He could have caught the ball. But it wasn't a great throw. But he does, like Tony, like you said, he gives him stuff outside the pocket. He can move around. You can bootleg him and everything. But does it really matter who plays quarterback when you run the damn ball on every first down play? I mean, does it really matter? There's no imagination in the offense, and it cripples the quarterback. You don't get a chance. There's no chance. You can't protect the guy and expect him to go out on third down and make a play. You just can't.
How do you balance it, though? Because they want to run the football. They want to be that type
of
physical
team. Right,
and they want the quarterback to play better, too. So,
To me, it starts up with up front. It's the five guys plus the tight ends. You have to do a better job up front. I don't think we're playing very good in the interior offensive line right now, especially at the two guard positions.
They had combined, for four penalties last week?
The tight ends are just okay. They're not doing anything special as well, and I think that group has to get better if you want to run the ball. If this team, and I said it in a bunch of different interviews all week before and after the game on Thursday night, the way Doug Marrone wants to play is good defense, run the ball, and take some shots, in calculated passing game. The only way you can do that is if you have a really good defense, which after the first series they played much better.
But right now, we wouldn't call it a really good defense. We wouldn't anticipate that being a really good defense right now.
After the first series, they played better. It was another three and out before the fake punt.
No, I said the defense.
You're talking about the defense.
Okay. Defense. Offensively, we have not played well this entire preseason.
That's right.
And we're struggling up front, and we can't run the ball. So the very formula that you want to have, you're missing a lot of the pieces.
Well, you're missing the two basic tenets of the formula, which is to run the ball and play really good defense.
I still think the defense will be okay.
I do too. I think you're seeing a little veteranitis on the defensive front there.
Well, after the first series, they played fine.
Huh? You are. You're seeing, come on, these guys are, Malik Jackson and Calais Campbell have been around the league for a long time. I don't think they'll be fine once the thing goes on for real. But if that formula doesn't work, Tony, don't you got to adjust what you're going to do?
But do they have the personnel to do it, Pete?
They clearly don't have the personnel to run the ball either.
That's fair. Too late now. They got what they got, right?
So the option is to open up the offense.
Or somewhere in between. Come up to the line of scrimmage on a first down.
Well, I think there's way too much.
And get some motion and get a guy outside and create some matchup problems.
Well,
and
I think where you and I would agree, Pete, the running on first down incessantly it's very –
particularly when you can't run the ball, it puts you behind the chains all the time.
Unless you better have, if you're going to line up and say, listen, we run the ball on first down, and we're going to run it, and we're going to run it, and we're going to run it, you better be good up front. And you better be able to move people, and you better have a really good back.
So seeing as they haven't been, and it doesn't look like they will, don't they have to adjust some form or fashion for Bortles by allowing quick throws, quick thing, get some picks and rubs and stuff and some creativity.
Well, maybe they're hiding all that for
the
regular
season. They might be.
Maybe that's it.
Because what we've seen in the preseason has lacked 100%. It has no imagination. None. Zero. You're on a night on Thursday night. You're trying to evaluate your quarterbacks, and you have all those first down runs for Henne and putting him in obvious passing situations. Then you come out with, what was the Bortles stat now, JB?
So the first two drives of the second half for Bortles, there were 11 plays total, a three and out and then an 8-play drive. There were 3 passes.
And then the third and 17, we saw something, we might crack open a run there. Are you kidding me? You're trying to evaluate your quarterbacks. Make him throw and complete a pass on third and 17.
Make him make a deep ball throw on 3rd and 17 in a read and a coverage and with the extra defensive back on the field and extra wide receiver. That's how you evaluate your quarterback. You're going to open up a crack and a crease and come on, yeah, give me a break. Did you see that, Tony? It was ridiculous.
Pete, I was there. I called the game.
No, but did you see the comments after the game?
I watched the game and I was...
Did it mystify you at all?
I hate the fact that I agree with Pete Briscoe. This is not as fun as show.
What that means? That means you're being right for once in your life.
No, I like it.
You should walk out of here proud tonight.
You're actually talking some common
make
sense.
Making sense?
Yeah, for once.
No, I make sense. You just sit there and you don't want to say what you need to say.
You usually change your opinion based on the wind and kind of find out which way it's going.
He is kind of a fence rider sometimes.
No, never.
Rider.
Never.
It must hurt
people. Never.
So, I think it was the right call. With Bortles.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me you thought the 3rd and 17 was the right call.
I think the right call, Bortles, when you evaluate everything. And this is what I said on Friday after the game. I said, if I was Doug Marrone, I would wait through the weekend before I make a decision. And I think that was what he did. Because all of us, it's human nature, you make snap judgments one way or another. And you have to take everything into account, where you are as a football team. At the time, even Thursday and Friday, I said, well, it's a coin flick. I mean, pick one because they both have ups and downs. And are you willing to go with Bortles with the upside? Then that's where you go. That added with the issues we're having, protection and some different things. And Chad just can't move anymore. I mean, that's just not his game. And you saw what Blake did Thursday night, buying time with his legs. He can run for first downs. He can, break contain, finds Koyak on a little check down, off-schedule plays. And right now, I think this offense is going to have a lot of off-schedule plays. So,
if Chad had played better than he did, would he be the starter in Houston? On
that's a great question. Mm. You wonder if it was just done.
I think it was just this, to me, and I called it a charade. I think it was just a message. I really do. I think it was, hey, Blake, look.
Because
you're
do you think Blake played that much better than Chad?
No.
He was playing against second and third.
Right.
Unit guys.
No.
But if Chad goes down and leads 3 scoring drives,
well, then
to start the game.
You have no choice.
Right. Then he backed himself in a corner. He would have had to play.
You got to start it.
Right.
But, I mean, if you look at – that's the funny thing. Everyone says, well, Blake played better.
He did play better, but not significantly better.
Yeah, but before that, wouldn't you say Chad played a lot better in the preseason game?
Right, right.
Well, common denominator –
playing the twos.
They both played really well when they played twos and threes.
Yeah, yeah.
No one yet we've seen offensively has played well who are going to be playing on Sunday.
That's a good point. Even back to the Patriots game.
We do a good job against the accountants and the bartenders and the,
right.
the engineers.
So they should be pretty good on Thursday night, then. Little preseason finale when it's all bouncers and bartenders and accountants.
Now, maybe the good news is I'm going to be positive that this is a work in progress, that offensively Nathaniel Hackett is keeping things very vanilla, very close to the vest, that there's a lot of different things they're going to do in the passing game. Creativity-wise and some different things, that this offensive unit, once it's game-planned against a defense, is going to come out.
Vanilla? It's diluted vanilla. It's like they put water in it to make it taste less than what it is.
I'm being positive. That this is a group that the talent's going to come out, that they're going to play better once it's for real, the game plan's in, the focus, and everything else. I really believe that about the defense. I think that is the case. I'm hoping for the offense.
They'll play better at Houston. I'm telling you, they will play a tight game at Houston in 2 weeks.
God, I hope so.
I don't know if they'll win, but they're going to play a good game at Houston.
Who'd you pick in your...
When I played out the season?
Yeah.
I picked the Texans.
Of course you did. Let's come back.
Well, has this team shown anything that make us change our mind in the last 3 weeks?
Let's get a little more into the offensive line when we come back. What are some of the issues? How do you turn it around on the offensive line? We'll get into Tony Boselli's head, as scary as that is, coming up. The Tony Boselli Twitter question.
I don't know if you
want
to be there.
I know I don't want to be there. We'll go anyway. Coming up at Daly's Place, Goo Goo Dolls, Saturday, September 2nd. Brian Adams, September 9th. And Zach Brown Band, Thursday, September 21st. A full schedule and tickets available at dailysplace.com. Your calls in the second hour. We're off and running. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com, the Jags app, and Jaguars Radio.
I don't know. I think in a way it's motivating. We know what we're capable of. We know what our expectations are of ourselves. And what we put on tape obviously doesn't meet our expectations. It's not acceptable. But, we just go out there with a renewed energy and effort to make it right. And
you know, we'll just keep putting one foot in front of another. And by, you know, this week, hopefully, and you know, have a good showing. And then week one and just kind of roll into the season. The running game is the focus. It's the base of our offense. And if that's not working, it's going to be tough. So, yeah, we take great pride in that. It's what we do.
Luke Boyenko in the locker room over the weekend. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco. Your calls in the second hour tonight of Jaguars Monday. And the Tony Vaselli Twitter question of the night. We're taking submissions as we speak.
I want to hear your evaluation of the line play because I'm sure you watched the tape.
Yes, indeed. I can't wait for this.
Did you throw up when you watched it?
Boy! Dr. DPS, I said, oh, I'm getting sick over here. Fix me up.
He's really losing weight now.
Yeah, wasn't good.
He's bulimic.
Wasn't good. I don't have the stats in front of me what the running game was, but
not good, coach.
Not good, coach. They're not playing well.
Well, let's go by position. We'll go each starter. Start at right tackle. Parnell.
Solid.
He looked like he was the most solid of the
solid,
group.
Good.
He had a false start early in the game, right?
False start, but solid overall.
Okay.
You know?
Right guard.
Not good.
He was bad.
Three penalties.
Bad game. Now, ended up being a face mask penalty against Chad Henne.
Right, but he got beat on that.
Oh,
he got whipped on that play.
Whipped.
Right.
So, I mean, AJ's not having a good camp, not a good preseason.
Center.
Solid, but not up to his standards.
Yeah, his last 2 weeks haven't been up to his standards.
No, not up to his standards.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that's because he's worried about the guys playing next to him?
Could be.
Yeah.
I've never obviously played center. My guess it's more difficult if both sides are struggling a little bit to do your job. But no excuse. I mean, if you want to be the best.
And if you're the highest paid guy.
If you want to be considered one of the best, you got to, your game's, I mean, it's week in and week out. I mean, the standard is different. Just telling you, I've been there. I mean, the standard's different. What other guys do and comparing yourself to them doesn't work. You have to raise the bar, and the bar needs to be raised.
Left guard, Boyenko.
Luke's really athletic, but he just gets overpowered at the point.
He looked like he was getting overpowered early in the game.
He did one time really bad on the, you know, it was a penalty, and he got Kaywon Short got him really good. But there's just not a lot of oomph. At the point, there's not a lot of. He needs to be more physical.
What is he not strong enough, big enough? He looks lean.
He's long.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're long like that, you really got to bend and get your hips down, and you got to have power. And he just he's not a thick guy.
How did Amami come in and play?
He played better. I thought he was better than Luke, but just okay.
And then the left tackle.
Left tackle struggled. He got beat for a sack on.
By Addison.
A bad set. That's all it was. It was a bad set.
He was getting beat on the play before it got blown
He got beat
back.
On a spin move inside. But he's going to be a good player.
Wasn't that what happened?
He's a rookie. He's learning
right.
how to
yeah,
set.
I don't, and I like the feistiness.
I do too. He has a physicality to him. He has a nastiness to him. I thought he was a third preseason game and needs to continue to get better. But the talent is there, the ability is there, the toughness is there, the nastiness is there. It's the technique that he needs to work on, especially in the pass game.
See, he got beat. Remember, there was a penalty. He got beat, I think, on an inside play.
He was laid off the ball. It was a blow. I don't even look at that.
But he was getting beat.
Yeah,
it got blown dead, but then he went around him the next time.
But that wasn't the issue. He was laid off the ball. Addison was early because someone else moved, so then he's bailing out, and he's getting pushed.
He got beat inside.
He
was going to get beat. And then the next time he went around because
Pete,
he was concerned about
it. It was
about.
A dead play. So if the defensive guy is going first and you're late and you're just trying to recover, yeah, it's going to look bad. It was a dead play. I mean, to look at that and say he got beat.
He was getting beat two plays in a
idiot.
Row.
You are honestly.
Then he got whipped in the second play.
I give up.
So, okay, let's go to the backups. Because here's the one we mentioned Amami.
This is
the
backups played one drive.
You need something. What?
Backups played one drive
right.
at the fourth quarter.
I know.
Against the threes.
We're not even evaluating that, no.
Well,
I'm not talking about from the game.
Sense.
I'm just talking about in general. Because we keep hearing about
Shatley.
Tyler Shatley.
Well, Shatley's obviously not in the running because he's got no reps.
Chris Reed.
I don't know what happened to him. They liked him early. He's not got any reps.
These guys are like the Loch Ness Monster and whatever. I mean, every year we hear about him.
Wells is the swing tackle.
Okay.
That's settled.
So who stays inside?
Well, you'd think Omame and Linder. I mean, Omame and Buenco, because Buenco can play all, you know, center or guard. He can even play tackle if he had to. After that, it's Shatley or Reed.
So
where's Cain?
No, he's there.
Well, I'm talking about the
backups.
You're talking about they're going to keep eight offensive linemen.
Right.
Line.
Right.
So Wells, Buenco, and then Shatley or Reed. And whatever happened to the guy we signed from Arizona?
Watford.
He was hurt a little bit. Yeah.
Is he back? But he's back now, isn't he? Or is he still out?
I don't know.
He's back.
I haven't seen
him. But,
I mean,
but
I don't know what happened. Yeah.
MIA.
Here's the thing. They could have went out and spent money on that position this year.
Well, and I said this earlier today on 1010. And I'll say it again. Two things. One, we talked about in January on the Thursday night show for sure, because I think the Monday night was overdone, but we might have even done it the last show as we looked forward, is this team needed to be aggressive in free agency on the offensive line at the guard position. I mean, that was a conversation. We were not. And we let Luke Jokel go. I said back then, I would have signed Luke Jokel back. For the guy, 1 year, $8 million. I would have signed him back because I think Luke Jokel is going to be a good guard. He's going to start for Seattle somewhere.
He's going to start a guard for Seattle.
Yeah. I mean, and so I would have – I thought he was playing good football guard before he got hurt.
I watched him the other day. He got whipped on a – had a hold on a penalty.
Okay, but everyone does.
I know. But, no, I'm with you. I would have brought him back on a one-year deal too.
I would have brought –
And then you had to also –
Okay, so you don't do that. Fine.
Zeitler.
Then you don't – I don't know how aggressive they were. But going
Price
after,
got too high on Zeitler for them. That's
okay.
What I heard.
Okay, so they didn't want to spend the money, but okay,
but they got $40 million in cap room.
Okay, so stop there. So you know the price. You made a decision price wise. You didn't want to spend that on those guys. And I know we talked about it on Thursday night because I said it. Then you go into the draft. I would have drafted two or three offensive linemen in that draft.
Well, okay,
you
so
draft
the,
one.
You drafted Robinson. So in the third round, you could have come back and got another guy.
I would have got the guard from Indiana. Who San Diego ended up picking.
Feeney, who's playing center, guard, both. He's backing up at center.
Indiana guy, right?
Yeah.
And he's starting guard.
Yeah, maybe. He might not open the season as a starter.
Okay, whatever. I would have gone and got him. Nothing against Smoot. But I would have gotten. You need depth at that position. It was a position of concern last year, and we did nothing to address it outside of Cam Robinson, who just replaces the guy you didn't let go.
Well, you also thought at the time you had Albert, right? Yeah,
but
not after the draft. Was that before the draft?
Before the draft. Okay, but back up, Pete. Even when Albert was here, Tom Coughlin and everyone else said Cam Robinson was brought in to compete at left tackle, not guard.
But don't you think if Albert had been here, he'd be the guard?
No. Well, I thought that, but they said they were adamant.
Well, that would have just been stupid.
And so but my point is you go from a position that was a struggle last year. There was concerns about the interior offensive line last year. Was there not?
There were, yes.
And you do nothing to address it.
Well, they could be lining up with Alex Mack at center, Brandon Linder at right guard, and Kelechi Asemele or Kevin Zeitler at left guard. And
well, that's not their fault. They tried and
hey, he was there again, though. He was there again.
Was 2 years later, right?
Right. Why do you think the Falcons got better in the middle of their line last year? Matt Robinson could step up because Alex Mack played center.
He played center.
And they could have kept Linder at guard and played one of the two, Zeitler, Osemele, whoever signed, they could have had a good line inside. And you know what, Tony? Back when you played, having the great interior of the offensive line
was a different offense.
Right. It wasn't as important. It's important now.
Because everything was seven-step drop, so you had to have really good tackles.
Correct.
Who could watch the edge.
Now the ball gets out. You got
to
be good inside.
Because you had to hold it. We're going to hold the ball, and we're going to double everything inside, and the tackles were going to be one-on-one with deep drops. So it was just different.
But now the way the league is gone, everybody gets the ball out quick, and you better
it's
be
all
stout.
3 and 5 steps.
So you better be stout in the middle. You got to keep the guys off the in the middle out of the quarterback's line of sight. You saw when Breeze was good in the Super Bowl, he had those two good guards. He had Carl Nix and he had Jari Evans. Right when they got it, when they went away and weren't any good anymore, he had problems with people inside.
And he still throws for 5,000 yards.
Well, he throws 125 passes a year, he told me, without seeing the receiver. That's pretty amazing.
He just guesses where they're going.
He's repped it so many times that they know exactly where they're going to be, and he throws it that way. It's incredible.
How about that?
That is when he told me that, I went, first off, he didn't tell me. You know who told me? Zach Strief told me. And then I went and asked Breeze about it. He said, yeah, that's exactly the way it is. That's think about that for a second.
That's unreal. That's repping it out. That's knowing
that's
your
the
stuff.
Detail. That's where the work and all the.
And so all as I'm saying is you.
They should have went after it. They should have attacked it in free agency.
Well, Tony. Well, I'm looking at the game plan for this offense, which from day one, when Doug Marrone became the coach, was to play great defense, run the ball. That's why you draft Cam Robinson. Am I not?
Correct.
And that's what you want to do. Well, to do that, the five guys up front are the most important position on your team then. There's nothing more important on your offense than those guys. If that's
see Dallas, see Tennessee.
If that's how you want to play.
Correct.
There's nothing more important.
But okay, here's another, just while we're on the offensive line. This team is coached by an offensive line coach. They brought in a good offensive line coach in Pat Flaherty, who's supposedly a good offensive line coach. Why has anybody gotten better?
Well, Flats has only been here, you know,
People have gotten worse.
I'm not putting on Flats. He's been here 3 months.
No, I'm not putting it on him either, but shouldn't they be showing some? He's been here about, what, since March, right? Working with him.
Now in the CBA, you don't get to work with these guys. He had like 15 times on the field with these guys before training camp.
And then training camp.
Okay, but I'm just saying, to put that on Flats right
now. I'm not putting it on him, but he's.
That's what you just did, Pete.
JP. Then who are you putting? You're putting it on Marrone then. If they haven't got better, and Marrone was here last year, and you're absolving Flaherty of the blame, then you're putting it on Marrone.
Well, to say none of them have gotten better, I don't think that's accurate. I think Parnell's, he's a good player. He's a solid player.
You're lowering your standards.
He's a good right tackle.
Not a good right tackle. He's an average right tackle.
You can win football games with Jeremy Parnell as your right tackle.
Provided the rest of the group is okay.
If you had 32 right tackles, he's in the top 16.
So he's top 16. That makes him average.
No, he's in the top 16.
God, you really, for a guy who played the position at such a high level, you've lowered your standards. I worry about you. You lowered your standards.
Let's come back. We'll continue this offensive line discussion. Why not?
I
like it.
It gets him fired up, too.
Yeah.
He forgets that they once had a guy named Leon Searcy here playing right tackle.
Who was elite.
Right.
Okay. I'm not saying Jerry Barnell's elite.
You lower your standards, Bazzelli.
JP, did I ever say any?
I don't know.
Plus, you blame Marrone for being the offensive line not getting better.
Check out Jack Hannity's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Your calls in the second hour, the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. Please ask him about the offensive line. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Physically, probably the same. I don't know how much has changed in 9 days physically. But I think mentally going through that, seeing, you know, because those are feelings and situations as far as being in the building and being in the locker room that you have, you know, you can never, you know, replicate that or simulate that until that situation happens. So I think, you know, talking to different guys in the locker room, talking about, you know, how it's happened and how to deal with it, I think, you know, kind of allowed me to mature a little bit and have a different perspective of it.
Blake Bortles, when asked, how are you a different quarterback this year? Jaguars Monday, JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli, your calls coming up. We're getting some nice submissions for the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. We'll get to that in the second hour as well. You guys are furiously texting or tweeting
away.
Looking
at our tweets because people are getting angry. They get angry.
Really?
People hate me.
How are you right now, Tony? Did you calm down during the break? Are you still flustered?
I've never been flustered, number one, on the show. Never. I've been upset, but never flustered.
I think flustered is the right word. I think JP nailed that one.
Thank you.
You got flustered last week when you snapped at JP. You got mad at JP last week. Made him cry, by the way.
No,
seriously.
No, there's no crying.
No crying in football? There was almost crying in his building.
He was sad, wasn't he?
He was. You upset him.
I'm sorry, JP.
I was mad is what I was.
Sad, mad.
Sad.
He did. You popped your
top. Water off a duck's back, but.
Nah. No. There was smoke coming out of your ears.
You weren't 6'8", 400 pounds.
I don't remember what I said.
I don't remember what you said. You said something was stupid.
Yeah, you asked my opinion. You said,
and then you said,
stupid.
No, that's stupid. And he got upset because.
Quit asking me.
I told him. I
didn't ask you.
When you walked out, I said, JP, you need to toughen up that skin, buddy. There's a little thin skin there.
Yeah. It's okay. I like it. I like when I get to JP.
Usually you're messing around with him and he gives it back to you. He was legitimately mad.
Like, that's too bad. That's good.
You weren't 400 pounds.
It makes me happy.
Punch you in the forehead. Cro-Magnon head.
It was good.
Makes me happy.
Yeah, it's great. By the way, we haven't mentioned your shirt tonight.
It's one of the great shirts of all time, isn't it?
Player with an I in the middle of
it's
the E.
It's so
and the
me.
A.
Right? My wife got me this. What's that tell you?
I feel sorry for her.
There is an I in team.
And it's she got it in the right colors.
Yeah. Sun Devil colors.
You see it
oh, wait,
Jaguars.
That's Trojan colors, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's more Trojan than Sun Devil.
Probably by the end of the year it will be. ASU, two games in, out. USC, let's go Pac-12.
You can check it out on Jaguars.com, the live video stream tonight of Jaguars Monday. So Blake's a quarterback, and they've got a week and a half to get ready for Houston and get this thing together. We talked about the timing of it. They wanted to do it fairly quick after that last
game. It's the right
time.
I thought it was a good decision by Doug to wait through the weekend.
You think he's going to play Thursday?
I would play him. I'd play the whole starting offense.
For like two series.
Absolutely.
I think that's going to be more of a trend than people think this time, this going forward. I think you just, like, okay, if you don't play him a series or two, then you're off for, it's Thursday night, you don't play, like New England will play in 2 weeks, so they're a little bit better, but you don't play for, what, 17 days?
Yeah, I would play him.
Then if somebody got hurt, you'd
well,
hear
it
about
doesn't matter. It's football, you can't. Julian Edelman got hurt on air.
Right.
Could have him on the practice field.
Right. I'm with you. I play
I mean,
play
it's football.
McCall.
You go play.
This team, the way it's constructed right now with all
you
the
have
youth,
to play.
I would play him. Because, look, think about this. This will be one of the first times that they've had everybody, if Westbrook's back, Westbrook,
well,
Lee,
he went to Philadelphia for some right. second opinion.
Sounds like he could go Thursday, though, Doug said, too.
Okay.
Right. So if he plays, right. Westbrook, Lee, Robinson, Hearns, Fournette, right? Was Fournette play? Or did he put him in bubble wrap?
I'd play Fournette, too.
I would,
like
too.
He's going to play, too.
I'd play
like.
Them all.
He's a rookie. He's got, like, five reps.
Right.
All, I mean, give me a break.
Against slow the, competition,
against
he
guys
said.
Who are not.
He's used to the competition. Wait till he gets the Houston in the opening week.
And he needs, like, and he won't get a great look either on Thursday night, don't get me wrong, but he thinks the NFL, like, oh, it's easy. It's not
right.
that fast.
Wait till the opening. Wait till
Let
he
me
take,
know when.
Well, wait till he takes those 10 carries on first down in the first half against Houston.
Let me know when JJ and Jadavian. And,
that was a little shot right there.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they got to play.
Derek, I mean, those guys running around. I mean,
they got to play. They have to play a little bit. And I think, and I think they will. I think there's going to be more of that going on this time around. Than
I'd play him. I'd play him two series. I actually, I'd play
Didn't
him the whole
you guys
first quarter.
Back in the day play
Yes,
the,
we played the first quarter.
Yeah, I thought so.
Of the fourth game.
Yeah.
Yes, first yeah. quarter. Whole first quarter.
Why?
Just to keep in a rhythm.
So that's what
do
you
something.
Did.
Okay.
I mean, you played Thursday night. You had the whole weekend off. And you came back.
Monday, and it's game week.
On Monday, we came back Monday. We have, no, we had Monday off. And we'd have, this is how Tom used to do it. We'd go. Tuesday would be a Wednesday. Wednesday would be a second
yeah,
Wednesday. Thursday would be a Thursday, Friday. I mean, it was a long week.
I remember all that stuff, too. He was a nut with that. Today's a Wednesday for us, and we'll have to adjust.
I'm like, no, it's Tuesday.
No, it's Tuesday, Tom. But, yeah, then you'd go full pads on Tuesday, full pads on Wednesday.
Full pads on Thursday.
And then a light day on Friday.
That's
and
right.
And then a walkthrough on Saturday. That's exactly what it was.
So that's to put that in perspective, everyone was like five straight days of – training camp practice.
Sure, here, this year.
The right? first yeah. week of the season, we would do three full padded practices in a row getting ready for the game.
With
9-on-7.
Middle drill, right.
every single day.
And goal line, live goal line too, right?
9-on-7, blitz, two periods of team.
Yeah.
One-on-one pass rush, one-on-one run.
Were you better for it?
Not in November they weren't. They were all complaining about it.
No, well, here's the thing. In fairness, I'm not saying that's how it should be now. That's what we knew. And were we better for it? I don't know. We were a good football team. We were a good run team. We ran the ball. And I mean,
but a lot of you guys went to him at one point and said, hey, look, he's got to pull back.
Fairness,
and he pulled back.
He did. Do I think we needed that many 9-on-7s in a row the week of? No. I think we'd have been fine with just 2 days of padded practices. And I think once the season gets going, you don't need any more than 1 day of padded practices getting ready for a game.
Tackling was better in the National Football League back then.
It was.
Because of
the
way
football. Football was better.
Right. It was more physical.
The game was more physical.
It was easier. It was simple. It was a simpler game.
Unless you played Steelers.
What, because of complex defense?
Yeah.
But I'm saying, I've watched Aikman's Cowboys against. I went back and watched.
Well, Aikman's were so basic. They'd line up and just play action pass and run the right down your throat.
But a lot of teams did back then. Yeah. And there was no pre-snap movement. They just come up and two by two, you know, two one
yeah,
over
but
here.
We motioned this.
You did,
yeah.
but it was still a lot simpler.
So my point, it doesn't matter. My point was, I'm not saying you got to go back to that. I'm just saying I think the fundamentals of the game were better because we got, and not because we were better players. These guys are great athletes, great players, but we had more reps. I mean, like anything in life, the more you do it, the mm-hmm. better you're going to get at
That's
it.
Right.
And so,
particularly run game.
Yeah, it's just
gotta rep those. Well, you think they'll play on? You think they'll play on?
Yeah. If I was the head coach of this team,
no,
I would.
No. Do you think they will?
Yes, I do.
I do too.
The JTA Game Day Express features two downtown locations, along with rides from the North Side, JTB and Phillips, and the beaches. Buy your tickets now at jtafla.com. We'll get into the Jaguars' defense when we come back. Your calls around the corner as well. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I was that guy. You know, so I think that's probably helped me a little bit more. I think, you know, when that day comes, I think it's tough because obviously I think I've been cut six times myself. And I know from a personal experience, you know, you sit there and you've worked your ass off and you're in that hotel room or wherever you may be and you go to yourself, you know, tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up and walk into this building that I've been walking into, you know, for so long and either it's going to be the greatest day of my life or I'm not going to have a job.
Doug Marrone today at the end of his press conference when asked about the cut coming up on Saturday, and he said it's the most difficult day of the year for him to cut players who've given it everything. JP Shattuck, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli, Jaguars Monday. We roll along.
You never had to really deal with that, did you, in your life?
No.
Well, kind of. You got released here.
Yeah, I mean, I got put on an expansion draft, but I knew it was coming in.
It wasn't a surprise or anything.
No.
But you've seen many a guy get tapped on the shoulder and say, come down. And
it's no fun.
So did we, by the way, when we used to have the office out here.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not fun for anyone in that locker room because you see your friends get cut. I mean, those are guys that are friends you've been with all offseason. You've developed a good relationship with guys sometimes you've been with for years. I mean, it's a bad situation. It's a necessary situation. I mean, it happens, but it's no fun.
I got to tell this story because it's kind of relevant now because of the other day I was watching that Carter High School thing. Did you see the 30 for 30?
I did not.
You know,
I heard about it.
They played Friday Night Lights. They played Odessa Permian. They said in the movie they played him in the championship game, but they played him in the semifinals, and they had one of the greatest teams ever. Jesse Armstead was on that team and everything, but then they all got in trouble afterwards. Well, one of the guys that was on that team was Shane Mastin.
Oh, yeah.
And Lachey, the reason I'm bringing that up is because during cuts, I used to always print guys' names who I was speculating who might get cut in the paper. And Lachey called me over one day. He goes, hey, don't put my name on that list. He goes, they listen to you when they cut those guys. I said, Lachey, no, they don't. I'm just guessing. Yeah. That, you know, that's how you know, you get to that point in your career, you're scared of it.
Yeah,
I mean, you
say true.
Anything. You don't want anybody.
It's your
dream.
Livelihood.
It's your dream and your livelihood. Yeah.
I mean, and we all, the media and the fans, I think make light of it. And I'm not saying right or wrongly, but they make light of it. But I think the only context you can put it in, think of being at your job and there's a day coming. And this happens in big companies with layoffs. But there's a day coming, like on this day, 25% of you are getting fired and we don't know who. Or you don't know who. And we'll let you know that day.
So but usually 20, when you're in the NFL, particularly now, it used to be a little different, but 23% of those guys know that they're not good enough. They know.
Well, I would argue in corporate America, 23% of the people know they're not performing. they're probably gone, too.
And most of them are millennials, by the way. No, I'm kidding.
Pete said that, not me.
I'm kidding.
Might be true.
No. But you know, the thing about it is they know, Tony, that you could cut the – I mean, they could cut – they know they could cut their own team right now. But back in the day, it was a little different because you didn't have all that – you had legitimate veterans getting cut in camp.
Absolutely. And it was all the time.
And it was a surprise. You'd load up this sack he had in his locker room and take it with you. And then you guys would go in after and see what he left and take whatever you left behind.
No.
You vultures.
It's bad. I remember, you know, guys would call, like, it was cut day. Like, have you heard anything? Like, we knew, like, I knew something. I'm like, no, man.
Oh, you had to tell him no?
Well, I said, I wouldn't know. I mean, I didn't know. I was sitting at home.
You knew everything.
No, I didn't.
You did. You were locked in. Your stepdad told you all the time. Tom told you. He called you. He asked you advice.
The only time Tom told me anyone getting cut or released or traded or anything like that was when he knocked on my door and told me I was gone.
That was at your house down there,
yeah,
right?
On a Saturday morning, he came knocking. I'm like, this isn't good.
And then he said, Tony, we're going to have to release you?
No, he said, we're going to have to put you on
the expansion.
Expansion draft because of salary cut issues. All right, whatever.
And then
that was your reaction? All right, whatever.
No, you weren't happy. I was not happy.
Did you slam the door?
No.
But in hindsight, would you have ever played again here? You didn't play in Houston, so you probably would have never played again here.
Probably not.
But you know what? As weird
Let's
as,
not get into because no, I got...
No, as weird
I got,
as it sounds,
I,
as weird as it sounds...
I'll go down a dark path.
As weird as it sounds, if you probably didn't get in the expansion draft, people wouldn't hold that. For some reason, they hold that against you. It's as stupid as that is.
Or if I'd have got... Never mind, I'm not because I'm going to say something right now that I'll regret, and I'm not going to do it. Let's move on. Move on or move out.
We'll come back. Phone lines will be open. You're welcome to ask him about that tonight. 355.
We got him going.
Don't ask because I won't answer.
Woo-wee. You're not gonna say it like I didn't say it last week until we were off the air and I told you.
I will not say.
My joke. Finally getting to you, are we?
No, you're not getting to me. I'm just not gonna.
We warmed down.
Because I'll say something.
What is this? Week three? He's done.
It's true. I'll say something's true, but I'll regret.
It's week three and you're toast already.
I'm not toast. That's just one subject I'm not approaching.
355 NFL 1, the number. PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. Your calls and more coming up the second hour of Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Second hour of Jaguars Monday underway. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Vaselli, your calls at 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. The Tony Vaselli quitter, what is going on over here? What's wrong with you two?
We were looking back at the 95 draft.
Oh, sweet.
And you know what they got out of that draft?
Stop, Pete.
They got Tony.
James Stewart was a good player, Pete.
But he was a backup in 96 when they went to the when they went on the run, and he was a backup in 99 when they were on the run.
Oh, he was. Yeah.
Okay.
He was a good player.
He was a good solid player.
Good player.
But he was a backup in both big moments for the team.
He was a good player.
And then second round pick was DeMarco. Brian Schwartz was a good player for a while.
He hurt his knee, blew his knee out.
Then he wasn't a good player for long.
Well, he blew his knee out.
Okay, but that happens. Okay, then the third round pick was Chris Hudson. They chased that safety spot for years because of that pick.
He was a starter for 3 years.
Yeah, but
he
then they had to draft Mike Logan.
I know, but he
then
started in 96.
I know. And then did he start in 96?
Yeah.
Was he the starter in 96? It wasn't. Yeah, maybe he was.
96 and 97.
And then... and then we get to the fourth round, and we go off the rails even there, I think. Mike Thompson, maybe? Was he a fourth-round pick in 95?
I don't remember.
you know I'm right.
I'm just showing
that Tom's had his draft day blunders, too. But he never missed the top picks.
Those ones got to keep around, right?
The premium picks.
Yeah.
But, I mean, no offense, but I could have drafted him.
Oh, this guy right here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
We're making him uncomfortable.
Let's get to the Tony Vaselli Twitter question.
Is he dancing?
Night.
Is he dancing, Joe?
Tap shoes on here.
Excuse me. Can I have the bathroom key, please?
teacher,
can I go?
This comes in tonight, the Tony Vaselli Twitter question of the night from, this must be a real handle, Ryan O. Number One Fan. Serious question, how much better and why will this defense be different when the starting cornerbacks finally play?
Well, I mean, the question answers itself. When your starters are better than your backups, so you're going to be better if your starters are in there. I still will argue that, or I think most people will, Jalen Ramsey is one of the better corners in this league. I'm not saying he's the best yet, but I think he has the potential to be the best corner in the league.
I agree.
But he's one of the upper echelon corners right now. A.J. Boye, we saw last year, if he plays like that, then you're going to have two really good corners. Aaron Colvin has been solid in the slot his entire career. And so all of a sudden, you get those three guys out there, you're going to cover guys closer and longer.
They could be really good as a group.
Absolutely.
Too. I mean, that could be a really good group.
I think Barry Church has had a good preseason.
He played well last
week. I thought he played very well.
I thought he was the best. I thought he was the best defensive player on the field.
And watching the tape, he flashes. I mean, Barry Church played very well.
Yeah, they'll be fine in the secondary when those guys are all out there. Yeah.
Pass rush would help him, obviously.
Was it ever reported why
Fowler
didn't play?
I don't think so.
I think he was dinged. It was like a minor thing.
Something minor. I think he was back.
But nothing was ever reported.
See, I thought the week before he actually made some strides against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, he had some nice rushes.
He got to the quarterback one time.
Yeah, more than that, though.
Dante's playing better.
I mean, he's still not.
He's still not the starter.
He's still not the number three overall pick.
Well, he's not the starter.
Right.
He's a backup.
That makes you
He's
not
a starting on nickel. He's a backup at defensive end.
See, I think Ngakoue needs to play better against the run. That's the problem. He got caved a couple times.
It's not his strength, but he is a good pass rusher. And I'll say one of the things that you're a good player. I was talking to John Matsko, the offensive line coach for the Carolina Panthers. He coached me at SC, and I've known since I was 18 years old. He taught me how to pass block, one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL. And the first thing he said, he was talking about, he goes, I can't say the kid's name. He goes, I just call him Y. I go, Yannick Ngakoue? He goes, yeah. He goes, man, he's good. I mean, so that's when you start hearing other guys. I mean, this was brought up with me not saying a word. I mean, Yannick's a good player.
He's gotten better as a pass rusher for sure, but he's just got to get better against the run. It's hard for him because he's not big.
He's undersized, so he needs to learn to play with better leverage, which he will. Where you drafted him and the way he's played, it was a great pick.
If you could combine Fowler's ability to play the run and play tough and chase down plays with Ngakoue's ability to rush the pass,
top five pick.
one was a top three pick. Right. But Miles Jack doesn't look comfortable to me playing where he's playing.
Strong side and then moving, staying on the field.
Yeah, I don't mind.
You don't think he's.
What do you mean by that?
When he's playing strong side, when he's playing up there.
What he played last year?
Yeah,
he played fine.
I don't know. He just doesn't look
comfortable.
No,
I disagree.
No. I'm just telling you.
What do you mean by that? What are you not comfortable?
It's not really a lot of space there.
Pete doesn't want him there, so he doesn't want him.
No, I think
so
he's a space guy.
Uncomfortable.
You don't think he plays better in space?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's not playing in space when he's up there.
Well, actually, they're playing a lot more. Well, Sam off the ball and more of a
he
four,
was
four
near
stack.
The ball, but
4-3 stack.
Yeah, he's playing near off the defensive end's right side.
He played a lot of off the ball too, so he plays in space a lot, Pete.
I think he played
that position last year and did a good job.
I think he's a.
So next question.
No,
he's still better with Puz in the middle.
Yes, they're still better with Puz in the middle.
So then what are you worried about? Him not being comfortable?
Because he was drafted to play in space his entire career, and he's not playing in space for 30% of the 35% of the snap.
65% of the for 65% of nickel, he'll be off the ball in space. And for that other 35%, 50% of that, he'll be off space. So that's 65 plus 17%.
Yeah. He just doesn't look comfortable there.
82% of the time, he'll be off the ball.
I know you like him over there because Puz is on the field.
You don't think Puz should be on the field?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, then shut up.
I just think maybe that was a luxury pick.
He wasn't expected to be there that low.
You have to pick him. If you get him at the top of the second, you got to pick him.
He hasn't played to that yet, has he? I haven't seen that in preseason. There's been flashes.
Hasn't been on the field a lot either.
Well, I think he does some nice things.
I like him. I just think he'd be in a different.
I think he does some good things in nickel.
What about in the run game?
Yeah, I think he's fine. I mean, ultimately he's going to be your Mike linebacker, but 82% of the time he's doing exactly.
They ran
at
him a bunch, and that's early in that game. They ran left on him a couple times at him, and when he was over there, I don't know. I think he's going to be a good player, but I think he's a space player. I really do, and I like the kid. I think he's a space player, and should be.
Well, I would agree with that, but the way you're set up right now, I think what they're doing is just fine.
Tony, is Avery Jones getting blocked? I mean, I haven't watched the defensive tape. Is he getting blocked?
I thought he did more on Thursday night. It stood out to me Thursday night watching the tape. I didn't think he had a great game.
Yeah, he looked like he was just
because he's a guy who I like. I think Avery Jones is a good player. I thought signing him was smart. So maybe he's had a bad game.
But that's a pretty good inside three that the Carolina Panthers have. I think Turner and Norwell and
Khalil. Khalil only played, I think, a couple series.
Right, but when they're together, pretty good. The tackles, though, aren't very good. Matt Khalil and
so I thought Khalil played okay. He's fine.
Yeah, he's serviceable. You're just taking up for your Trojan. That's all.
No, I'm not. And the kid from Oklahoma.
He's Williams. Not bad at right tackle. Right.
Is it Darrell?
Darrell Williams.
Darrell Williams.
Yeah, pretty good right tackle.
Yeah, I think he's a good right tackle. I think that's a good football. I think Carolina. I'll say this: the NFC South with Carolina, Tampa, Atlanta,
and New Orleans is going to be dangerous. The same.
Everyone talks about the NFC East or
the AFC West.
Well, I think that's the best division in football.
Everybody's got a quarterback.
Right. Every single one of them has a quarterback.
I mean, you got quarterbacks, you have skill guys. Yep. I mean, look at the receivers you have. Kelvin Benjamin, Julio Jones,
Mike Evans. The Thomas kid in who had a big rookie year last year in New Orleans.
You have backs. The
running backs everywhere.
You have quarterbacks. Sure. I mean, that's a good
– whatever team – has the pass rush emerged the best is the one that's going to win it.
That, in my opinion, that's the best division of football.
A lot of points.
Those four teams.
A lot of points.
At least the best offensive division of football for sure.
Right. But again, if you look, like Carolina's pass rush has to be good. Atlanta's got to get Beasley. And Tack McKinley, by the way, the UCLA kid looked good the other night. New Orleans has to get something from their edge people. You know, Cam Jordan's a damn good player, but they got to get something from the other side, from Okafor. Tampa Bay needs Noah Spence, who's played very well, to become a 12, 15
sack.
And
you have Gerald McCoy inside, right, who helps everything.
But so whatever team gets the best, Peppers is going to show up. He can still play a little bit.
But whatever you saw from Peppers on Thursday night means nothing.
No, I mean was it 17 years?
Sixteen. Yep. This is 16.
It's incredible.
It is amazing. Mm.
And he's still a freakish.
Still good player.
Yeah.
Not what he once was, but still good because he was great before.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
You think?
Yes.
Really?
Ooh. Borderline.
Let's go to the phone lines. 355-NFL-1. We'll start off in East Arlington tonight. Kyle on the line. What's up?
Hey, guys.
Hey, man. Kyle. You're on the air, Kyle.
Kyle, say something.
Speak.
Just real quick on when it gets down to the 53-man roster, I think. I would just like to know how many of that 53 is on what they call the practice squad.
Well, it's 53
plus 9 or 10. 11, 10 now. It used to be 9, I think, or 8. Yeah, now it's 10.
Yeah,
and so it's actually 63 guys are on the team, 53 active, and 45 dressed for the game.
And that will change when they get a new agreement. It's going to go to 56, I think, on the active roster, and then they'll have 10 to 12.
Wow.
Yeah, they'll give them jobs for something else. Us. You know, you watch
for more games. We're not getting 18, are we?
You might get 17 though.
17 games, huh?
2 weeks off or 18? 2 weeks off, if in exchange for more jobs.
Two
get more
bye
jobs.
Weeks. Didn't they try that one year? Some years ago.
Yeah,
double
years,
bye weeks.
Years ago. Yeah, double bye weeks. As a player, I'd much rather have 18 regular season and 2 preseason
with more money.
With more money, I hated the preseason. It's an awful
exercise.
As a player, I hated it. So you say, listen, you have to play 18, you have 2 bye weeks, and we're going to pay you more. Sign me up right now.
Then, but all the head trauma people will come out and say more chance.
I'm not going down that path, Pete. I just can't do that.
Or just regular injuries by the end of the season. The attrition would be too bad.
You get injuries. It's football.
But you're playing you'd be playing full games.
Is there a rash of injuries in the playoffs that I miss?
No.
Those teams are playing 20 games.
Right.
I don't see a rash of injuries in the playoffs where all of a sudden guys are falling out. Guess what? It's not scientific, but like watching, I get the sense there's less injuries because all of a sudden guys are like, I'm not coming out no matter what.
Right. You're preaching to the choir over here.
So
I tend to agree with you.
They're going to get tired. It'll be all these injuries.
If it doesn't happen.
We don't see it now.
You're playing well, doesn't it?
We actually make up. I honestly think, and I'm all for making the game as safe as possible, but there's such a narrative out there that this is like head trauma, injuries, danger. So we got to like create the story to fit where we want it to go. Instead of just saying, what do the stats tell us? Data tell us? What does the science tell us?
As a player, if I came to you and I said, Tony, I'm going to pay you more.
I already told you what I'd
do. More games and cut down some the preseason to 2,
You got me right there.
And we're going to make more jobs in terms of active roster.
That's fine. I just want
more
late
money.
In your career, you might want that job.
Maybe, yeah. But more money, less preseason, especially the way they practice now. Well, after the halfway point, you're not even in pads the rest of the year.
Right.
I couldn't even honestly. I can't. I don't even know what that would be like. If you'd have told me when I was playing that after week eight you'll never have to put the pads on again for Sunday, Sundays were fine. I dreaded Wednesdays and Thursdays at this place. It was hell.
You trudge out through that.
He's just like, oh my god, full pads, 9-on-7 blitz. I'm like, oh, here we. We used to think it was like such a relief. Like it was a Thursday late in the year, and Tom said, "Listen, I just need you guys to wear pads for blitz and 9-on-7. We'll take them off for team." It's like, oh, what an easy day.
Now they don't even wear them.
They don't even wear them for the rest of like the second half of the season.
Yeah,
like every once in a while you put them on.
It's changed.
I'm not saying, and this is an old guy speak. Like, oh, we did in the old days.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. I'm all for it. It's fine. Now I think I would still. In a perfect world, I think a team should be able to practice once a week in pads.
On Wednesday.
On Wednesday. I just think that would make the game better.
I agree.
But over as a player, I'd be like, okay, so no pads, I'm in.
Right.
Quick final thought on that. Would the preseason or the training camp still be the same length? Would you have joint practices in lieu of games?
I'd have a joint practice, but I also have a big scrimmage. I told you this, my theory on it. You have a big scrimmage in a town that doesn't have NFL football. For example, the Jaguars and Falcons would meet in Valdosta at a high school there. All the money, people pay 10, 15 bucks. They have a carnival festival, the whole deal. All the money goes to some charity in that area or something. That's what I would do.
I'd have 2 weeks of practice before the first preseason game. Practice with whoever you want beforehand and with you want to do a scrimmage, whatever. You have two preseason games. Let's go play. It's 4 weeks to get ready to play football.
Just like if I was this team, one of the things I would do, I would go to UNF and have a day out there one day. Just to change it up.
Right, here comes Pete, the marketing expert.
They've had practices at high schools here.
I'm
before.
Talking about UNF. You do it on a Saturday. You have a whole day out there. Make it a
face painting and clowns and
no. Oh. For kids, I don't have any kids. I'm sure maybe the kids would love that.
Well, I mean, you're doing all this festival stuff.
Yeah, because you donate the money to some kind of charity or something. Come on,
because you're such a charitable type of guy.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I am.
As he wears the team with an eye.
Let's go back to the phone lines in Philadelphia.
Good for me, baby.
Jimmy is on the line. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good to see you all again. Hey, first of all, Tony, my heart broke the day you were my first jersey. I had your jersey, the teal jersey, and the day that you got put up for the expansion draft literally broke my heart.
You think yours broke? And you should have been in my household that day.
I know. And actually hearing you talk about it gave me a new perspective on it. And I'm sure the whole
thing. I had to hold my wife.
We love you, man.
Thank you.
We can't wait until you get the jacket and you're in the Hall of Fame.
I had to hold my wife back from going across the street to beat up Tom.
What I was actually calling was I wanted to get your opinions on the Burfict situation.
It's ridiculous.
What do you guys think?
I think it's ridiculous I think it's absolutely ridiculous to suspend a guy for 5 games.
Yeah, but he's a repeat offender.
I don't care. It's 30
preseason hit that if you haven't seen
hit.
It, but do you think it was dirty?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, hit him in the shoulder, right?
Yeah, but the ball was over the top.
I don't care. It's 31% of the
it'll get season. Reduced. It'll get reduced.
And I thought Peter King and so made a great point. That'd be like in baseball for throwing at a guy if you're a repeat offender throwing at a guy or getting fights, suspending them for 51 games.
They suspend them that long when they get juiced up.
No, but that's different. That's a PED. I'm fine with that. It's completely different.
This guy's been warned over and over again, and he went for the guy. Come on, they could have killed that guy.
They could have killed. Stop
it. What if he broke his neck?
He didn't.
He could have.
Because he hit him in the shoulder, he could have broken his neck.
Hit him in the shoulder. He kind of went high on him. I thought it was
the shoulder, right? Yeah. The face mask came down
after
that.
The guy was kind of going limp because he knew the ball wasn't going to him, and he kind of was throwing it over the top. The ball was 15 yards over his head, and he blasted.
You know the funny
thing. This is 20 years ago. We'd applaud that hit.
Oh, if that.
I thought I would always say it was
dirty. You're such a liar.
I love big hits, but I don't want them dirty.
If he would have been playing in the 90s, he would be a superstar. The way he plays and hits people coming across the
middle. He's a good player.
Oh, I know he is. But Pete, correct me if I'm wrong. If he would have played like that, I'm not sure John Lynch could play in today's football the way he played.
Right. The game has changed.
See, Chuck Cecil could not have played.
Well, they would have had to change the way they played.
Okay. The style John Lynch played.
No, they would not have played.
Ronnie
Lott couldn't play the style. All-time great, Hall of Famer.
But going across the
drop
field, but
people, you come across the middle, even if the ball was overthrown
a
little bit.
There's a new rule now. You can't do it.
I'm fine with that. I'm not saying it's too much of a suspension. I'm not saying he shouldn't be suspended. I'm not saying he shouldn't be fined. No, I'm not. I think the 5 games is too much.
What do you think it'll be?
I'm just saying it's amazing to me. In the mid-90s, if he would have been on this team and he played like that, they'd be like, that's my guy. That's how you play football. Coaches would have been showing.
There's posters of the guy
on
the wall.
I can remember in film, if we didn't go clean up a pile at the whistle or just at the end of the whistle, we were getting like, and if you did, that's how you play football. You clean the pile up.
Remember,
don't let people stand around the pile.
Remember,
and as a player, you knew. Don't stand around a pile.
Sapp and Clifton's hit? Was that a dirty hit?
Not when I played.
I thought it was.
I mean, was it dirty? No, was it unnecessary? Yes.
Yeah, I thought
part. It's not dirty, Pete. It was part of that was within the rules. He hit him in the front. We used to say all the time, day one, when I remember getting here as an offensive lineman, if a pick is thrown, you go chase, but you better keep your head on a swivel, otherwise you're going to get knocked out.
But then the old days, the chopping at the legs was within the rules too, and the guys thought it was a dirty play.
Yeah,
the rules sometimes aren't.
Pete, you're missing my point.
No.
I'm not saying that the rules should go back to that. I'm just saying it's funny to me some of the greatest players who ever played the game and what their trademark stuff was taking shots across
the You used to be able to put a forearm in a guy's helmet back in the day.
Pete, you're missing I'm not saying it should go back. I just find it funny that if Perfect would have played when I played.
But, Tony, if Perfect would have played when you played and did the exact same thing in a preseason game, it would still be a dirty hit.
Oh, yeah, probably. But no one would say anything about it, is my point. If anything, it would be like, hey, you know.
But nobody would say anything about this one either, except people pulled it out and made a big deal out of it on social media.
No.
You know how that goes.
It's a big deal now. Now it's like you're trying to hurt somebody.
What's the rationale behind doing it?
Send a message. Don't come across the middle.
It's a preseason game.
Come in the paint, baby.
So would have been all right if it was in the regular season?
It still would have been dirty, but you could have justified it a little bit
more.
My
question is this. When I was playing, Pete, if Perfect would have made that hit.
You would have went after him.
Yeah, we would have placed it within.
It would have been different. Nobody does that anymore either.
Well, that's different. But would you have said.
I would have said it was a dirty hit.
But you said that's what I mean.
It's not football. That's not football. That's dirty.
I didn't see the play. So was it that bad? The ball was that far.
Ball is way over his head.
So like he couldn't catch it, no matter what.
Oh hell no!
Okay, yeah, you can't. I thought it was just like he was going up.
His hands or something.
No, the ball was being thrown deep down the field.
No, that's no good. You can't do that. Sorry.
He just went through. You just went through 15 minutes defending the guy, and you didn't even see the play.
No, I still don't think he should be suspended 5 games. I think it's too much.
It's a repeat offender, though.
I still don't think he should be 5 games. My point of I'm not defending Perfect. I'm saying. The rest of his hits, what he gets in trouble for, Pete. When he drills people going across, that would have been applauded.
Right. I don't mind
ago.
A guy blasting a guy across the middle.
It's against the rules now.
Yeah.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. More of your calls when we return. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. And this is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I actually just heard, you know what I mean? He's been our starter. I mean, for me, again, it's about going out there and making plays. You know what I mean? That's really the only thing that crossed my mind. Kind of give us a little bit of an advantage to kind of get most reps with one guy. I think we'll be solid. You know what I mean? I know there's been some ups and downs in this preseason, you know, but I think it's a lot of plays out there to be made.
Allen Robinson's reaction to Blake Bortles being named the starter at quarterback. J.P. Shattuck, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com, the Jags app, and Jaguars Radio. Yes, Mr. Boselli.
So I looked at the Vontaze Perfect hit.
Okay, yes.
And now he doesn't think it's dirty.
No, I'm not. In today's rules, that's against the rule. It's It's a should be flagged. It's a defenseless receiver and everything else. But for context, the rule is you can make contact with a defender within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, correct? The receiver, Pete, is that right?
Yes.
The receiver was 2 yards down the field, and before the defenseless receiver rule was put in place, which it is now, so it should have been a penalty. I still don't think it should be five games. That play would have been applauded because that's what you're supposed to do is knock down the crossers if they're within 5 yards.
Take them out.
Knock them off the routes.
Right, but not – in a, you can't hit a defenseless receiver
now,
like
but
right.
I'm saying pre-defenseless right. receiver.
Okay. Well, this isn't 1995 anymore.
But my point is, Pete said, "Oh, I would have said that was a dirty hit back then too." No, you wouldn't have, Pete. That was the rules. That's how people played the game. That was the right way to do it. If a guy's crossing within 5 yards, you knock him off the route.
The game was different. It was a violent, different, nasty game.
Pete, you just told me, "Oh, I would have said that was violent. That was a dirty hit back then." You're wrong. That you never would have said that because that's the rules.
I wouldn't have said it was a dirty hit. I mean,
just admit you were wrong. Just that's all you'd say. No. I was wrong.
No, I wouldn't have said it was an illegal hit. I would have said it was a cheap hit.
No, you wouldn't have.
Just like you said, Sapp's hit on Clifton wasn't an illegal hit, but it was a dirty hit. It's an unnecessary hit.
I didn't say it was dirty. It was unnecessary. Yeah. That's not unnecessary. A crosser coming across the middle
when the ball's over the top of his head already.
He's looking at the crosser. He maybe didn't see the ball being thrown. He's looking at the crosser. The guy's coming across the zone. He's going to knock him off the route. He's within the 5 yard marker.
Well,
that's football.
Back when you played, you just blast them at the line of scrimmage, and you could have blasted them all the way down the field.
So he was wrong.
No, I was right.
Another win. This is dominating this year by me.
It's a dirty hit.
Plus, I got people. Man, people are really mad at me.
They're
taking
you.
Shots
they really
all
are.
Night.
I don't know.
JP's
what
better looking. Right. Somebody says Boxer Rock should get fired from 10-10. That's me.
I'm skinnier, which I know
you're
is not
skinnier,
a true.
Because
I didn't get paid to do it.
Which isn't true.
I didn't get paid to go to Dr. DPS.
My favorite is some of these guys.
Well, Pete.
Some of these guys are cowards too. They don't even tweet. They just tweet you and Pete. They're afraid to tweet me. It's unreal.
Hi, I'm Pete. I used to do the show with Tony. You don't recognize me anymore.
Don't worry, that's not a problem.
Well, if they pay me enough, that might be.
Your big fat round face.
No, I'm not. Not at all.
I can't even imagine you on that, Pete.
What?
The DPS. No.
He doesn't have enough. He doesn't have enough discipline.
I'm very disciplined. No, but. You didn't either, by the way. You didn't either 375 before you started.
Whoa.
It wasn't quite that much, but it was close.
I will always remember this because we were at the same game, and we were going to New England for the playoff game. You were doing it for Westwood One, I think, and I saw you at the airport. You and your son were going, and you go, "Oh, my God, I'm huge."
I was so big.
I go, "Tony," he goes, "but you know what? In New England, I'm going to eat at some Italian restaurant. I'm going to eat everything I can buy.
We're going to Providence, Federal Hill. It's on, right. Right, the whole thing.
Yeah. And he said, you admitted you were like at 340 something.
I was almost 350. I might have been 350. It was bad, though.
You feel 10 times better, I bet. Huh, Tony?
Oh, I feel so much better. This is great.
What are you doing right now?
Some guy just tweeted me. I've had better conversations with my dogs, my toilet, and my mailman than Tony Baselli. I've never even talked to this guy, but it's nice of him.
What's the matter with this guy?
I don't know. He's angry.
Hey, let's go back to the phone lines. Leo has been waiting patiently in Mandarin. Leo, good evening.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Hey, thanks y'all for having me on. Hey, listen, Pete, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, look, man, you nailed it in the monologue or the first segment of the program when you was talking about that stat about Blake Bortles, and people don't understand why I want him to succeed so bad. Is for that you defined it perfectly. I didn't even know that stat existed, but this is why I want the guy to do well this year. And people are trying to sit here and get rid of him and everything. You know what's not fair? Are you talking about a stat? How many times has this defense given him the ball inside the 50? He's had no running game. I mean, from Brunell to Leftwich to Garrard. You hear him on the radio act like he's so sweet. He had a good running game and a solid defense. You know, he's sitting there the other day talking about how, you know, Blake Bortles locking on to people. He used to do that all the time. But he has no running game at all, no defense. I mean, I really would like to know how many times has the defense given him the ball inside the 50, but yet he's played every game. He's been there for 45 snaps. People's been hurt. You know, people ain't been able to go. Yeah, he's thrown a lot of picks. I'm going to ask y'all something. If you're a football coach, right, and your team can't run the ball for nothing, and the defense is stopping you with their front four, would you keep running play action? Your quarterback is turning his back to the defense and everyone else, and then, you know, he should be reading the defense. Instead, you've got him turning his back when the defense knows he can't. You're not running the ball effectively at all. But yet they continue to do play action. You know, you pay Chris Ivory all kinds of money,
Leo,
and he can't do anything.
Tony today.
Leo, slow down a little bit.
I'm not this bad. I mean, come on.
No, but he makes some good points, though. You know, look.
The David Garrard point.
What?
I like David.
I don't know. I like David.
Why are you bringing David into it?
I don't know.
Don't get me wrong. When I was on the radio in the afternoon, I used to brutalize David, but I like David. I like David. But I mean,
people you don't like.
Well, no, I was bad. I never thought he was that good. But you know what? They take David Garrard right now 10 times over and over. Right? No doubt they would take David Garrard. But he makes some good points about the running game, being able to see a defense, get creative. You know, I'm with you, too. Are they holding back? Is there something they're going to unveil? I mean, is there something creative?
Nothing up my sleeve. Presto.
Right.
Here we go.
Heard tonight. It's just preseason.
Right. Just preseason. Yeah, they certainly have to get more creative on offense, and I think they will.
Maybe
they can go down to the bowls and see what they can offer them to get more creative.
From what I heard tonight, they're just going to turn it on. I mean, they'll be fine.
they got to do something. Get some bunches and some picks and some rubs and some creativity and throwing first down and dictate tempo once in a while. You can't line up and play power football. You just can't. They're not good enough. They're not good. As much as they want that to be reality, they're not good enough. So when you do that and you're not good at it, all that does is put more pressure on your quarterback. And when that happens, he's going to make mistakes. Look, he'll probably make mistakes anyways, but might as well let him go. Let it go. Dictate some tempo. Then come back and pound him with the run and pound him with the run and pound him with the run. Big play over the top. Pound him with the run. Get a lead in the fourth quarter. Then you put your great defense you supposedly put together in free agency, and then you run it some more with Fournette. That's how you win in this league.
Easy enough, right there. There's the formula.
Make me the damn coach.
Yeah. No.
I'll come down from the office in 10 weeks.
Will you? Oh, God. Let's go to Sanford and say good evening to Michael.
I'll wear my black jacket to the game on Thursday.
Michael, please get us out of this. What's up?
Okay, well, we're gonna change gears for a second.
Change them up,
I'm sorry?
Change the gears. Let's go.
All right, yeah. So, you know, there's been so much talk about Kelvin Miles Pugs, you know, where Pugs and, you know, Miles playing, but I've heard very little things, and I'm hoping maybe you guys can shine some insight. What about our linebacker depth? Is Blair Brown doing anything? I know we signed a couple of special teams guys to play linebacker. How are they looking? Should I be, like, really worried if one of our top three goes down?
Yes. I don't think our depth is great.
Well, they signed Akeem Dent today, and he's just a guy.
Yeah, I don't think our depth is great. At that position.
There's not a lot of depth in the secondary either.
No.
Who they signed?
Safety.
Wilson's a pretty good player.
Jared Wilson's a good player.
Yeah, he's a pretty good player.
They signed Dent today, is it?
Yeah,
Akeem
Dent. Yep. Yeah. Played with the Falcons and the Texans. He's thumper, special teams.
Need depth.
Yeah. But, I mean, they thought they got depth when they signed Audie Cole, and they let him go, and the Saints picked him up today. But the backup linebackers aren't good. The backup corners aren't good. It's an issue.
That's a waiver wire situation, right?
I bet you. On this weekend, I bet you there's 7 waiver claims.
7.
What positions?
Secondary linebacker, offensive line, maybe tight end.
I would tend to agree with you on all of them.
That's a lot.
I think.
That's a whole lot. Let's come back one more.
When are we going to chop the team?
we can do that next.
Tony doesn't like doing that.
I guess this is our last chance. I don't like doing it.
Let's come back.
We're going to knock on your door and cut you tonight if you don't get it going here.
One Twitter guy already did. He got you.
He fired you. He said you stink and everything. He doesn't want to have a conversation with you. You're miserable. You're not going to go to the Hall of Fame. What the hell's wrong with that guy?
I don't know.
What'd you do to him? He's your next-door neighbor, probably.
The road to your own Fantasy Football League championship begins at Everbank Field Thursday, August 31st. Watch the Jags face the Falcons while you and your league conduct your fantasy draft in the state-of-the-art U.S. Assure Club. Visit jaguars.com/fantasy for complete details. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneneAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
We're back. JP Shadrick, Pete Briscoe, Tony Vaselli. Jaguars Monday, an eventful show so far.
Yeah, it's been a good show, I think. For a preseason, I think we've been knocking it out of the park. We don't wait till the regular season for our best stuff.
What are you trying to say?
I'm saying we don't. Like, in the NFL, I'm not just talking about this team, most people, you know, talk about NFL that, you know, the veterans are waiting for the regular season to give their best effort and their good stuff. Not us.
We did you?
No.
Yes, you did.
Not, no, I, the focus wasn't there that it was in the regular season. And I mean, when you're out there, you're playing hard, but the preparation, the focus, right. It just isn't the same.
Right.
So that leads to not being playing as well.
Right.
Yeah.
It's natural. Whereas a young kid who's playing for his life might have the focus and the discipline and everything else that he might not have later on in his career. So he plays harder. Mm. Reality of the NFL.
Yes, it is. Let's get two more phone calls.
Let's do it.
And then we'll cut the team.
We're going to cut the team.
Yeah.
Tony doesn't want to cut the team.
Anthony in Memphis, Tennessee. What's up, Anthony?
In Titan country.
And how you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
JP, big fan of Sexton, big fan. Tony Rochelle, big fan. Been a Jaguar fan since 97. Little boy.
Sweet. Oh, awesome. Thank you.
I wanted to.
He isn't a big fan of mine. He didn't mention me.
No, you weren't on that list, Pete.
No, I didn't hear it.
What's up?
I wanted to ask a question about the offensive line. What do you guys think? Do you think they're going to bring in someone if someone gets cut? Or you think they're going to try to work with what they have?
Well, the hard part about the offensive line, it's a position around the league that guys are always trying to find depth at, or teams are always trying to find depth at. There's only so many big, athletic human beings on this planet. And so if a guy gets cut, I mean, there's a reason he's getting cut. I think you have to look at the waiver wire, and you're going to try to find if there's a team. And because where this team sits in the waiver process after last year, they're in the upper, they're fourth in the waiver wire because it goes by your draft status. I think they will be aggressive in looking whether they'll be able to find someone. You don't want to just sign someone to sign someone. It has to improve your roster. It has to improve your offensive line group. Whether that guy will be out there or not, we'll have to wait and see at the 53-man cut.
It's hard in a league where there's a premium on offensive linemen and not a lot of them to find one. So what you have to look for, what I would look for if I was the guy making that kind of decisions, I would look for a tackle who can't play tackle in the NFL, who might be able to slide inside and play guard. We've seen a lot of those guys do it. It's you know, people say, oh, it's hard to do. Look, some of the best guards in this league were tackles. You know, Josh Sitton was a tackle at one point. Yonda was a tackle. Osemele was a tackle. I'd find a guy who isn't good enough to play tackle and is a young developmental guy who might be able to come in and help at guard. Big, strong, physical guy, can move a little bit and play him at guard. That's what I would look for.
I tend to agree with Pete on that. Like, it's a very good.
You're agreeing with me a lot, though.
It's a very good strategy.
It's a new Tony.
No, but
because you just got to get a release a guard and say, here you go.
But when Pete says something that's accurate, I have no problem agreeing with him. Most of the time, the problem is most of the time he does not. It's ridiculous. He rides the fence. He bounces back and forth.
I never ride the fence.
I have no idea where he is.
You were the fence
tonight,
rider.
He's done a better job.
Last week. Play Henny this week. They made the right decision.
No, I said, like you, Pete, last week.
No, you thought. I thought they would play.
I thought he would too. That's what I thought.
You thought they should.
I said, to me, it's a coin flip. But if I had to decide today, which I don't, I would go with Henny. But I want to see how it plays out. That's exactly what I said. I think they'll choose Henny. We were both wrong in that case. Based on what we saw Thursday night.
You changed.
I changed, and I would go towards Bortles.
Right.
But even after, I'm not going to lie, Friday morning I was the fence rider Friday morning. There's no doubt about it.
I could talk myself into
Henny, and I could talk myself into Bortles, and I said I would wait for the weekend to sit there and evaluate if I was head coach. That's what Doug did. I think he made the right choice.
By the way, one of your former teammates was a fence sitter the other day, Mr. Mm-hmm. Fred Taylor, because I was with him in the box. And I said, Fred, who do you? I think Bortles should play. And he goes, oh, yeah, me too. And then I heard him on your driving home on your post game, and he fudged.
He said Bortles in the post game.
Yeah, he kind of
at the very end. We put him on the spot.
Yeah, but he kind of went Henny for a little while, and then you
Pete, it is much.
And he said Bortles.
It's, it's way closer than you want it to be when you're trying to decide between your starter.
See,
between your starter and your backup.
I don't think it's that close.
I don't.
I think Henny's bad. I mean, Blake's not great, but Henny's bad. And if the team was constructed the way they thought it was going to be constructed, then maybe I could see going with Henny.
So if you,
I wouldn't have anyway. I don't play that. That's not the way I.
No, but if you had resigned yourself, which I know you don't like doing, to playing great defense, take the air out of the ball, run it, punt, play great special teams, field position football, which quarterback would you choose?
I'd probably still choose Bortles because I don't.
Okay.
I don't think Henny's very good.
All right, that's fair.
I'm honest about it. I just, his pocket presence is ducking down and wheeling around. I don't know.
And I go back to what we had seen up to that point. He looked good against the twos.
Right.
And so, but in fairness, that's who Blake looked good against on Thursday night.
What if Cole catches the pass?
That's the other thing.
Does that change? We asked that question last week.
Blake, yeah.
If Blake hits Robinson,
if he catches that and runs for a touchdown, right, is it a different story? I think it is.
Well, because he wouldn't have had a couple of series of plays down there by the goal line where he missed touchdowns.
My point, that might be different.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like,
that's how close it is, Pete. That's my whole point.
See, not in my mind.
You just said it might be different if he catches it.
No, I asked the question. I didn't say that.
Am I hearing things?
I asked that question the week before when he was benched. If Blake,
JP, am I hearing things? Am I misunderstanding?
Maybe.
So you.
I'm on the fence on this one. I'll be honest with you.
You're fence sitter, you.
Between you two. One final phone call. Steven at the beaches. Close us down. What's up, Steven?
Hey, couple of questions. Number one, when last season got over and everybody was deciding, okay, we got a new coach and we're going to bring Mr. Coughlin in, didn't anybody really sit back and say, this is what we got and we need to improve on this a little bit? That is kind of disheartening to the fans, and it's also kind of disheartening to see that this is what we're going to go into the new season with. That's number one.
What is number two?
You just laid out the whole roster.
You just dropped the atomic bomb on number one, and so what are we going to recover with
What's
on number,
number
two?
All right. Well, I just want to say something. I just came back. I do a lot of traveling for my company, and I just came back from London, and I was actually around Wembley, where the stadium is, and somebody up there is buying a lot of land and giving people 2-year, 3-year leases, saying you got to be out of here because they're getting ready to bulldoze a whole lot of stuff up there. And basically what I was told is that NFL's coming. They didn't say it in that way. They just said that professional football is coming to London. They didn't give a date or anything like that, but I just find it what I see going on here in Jacksonville. And look, I'm not a Jaguars fan. I'm a football fan. But what I see here going on in Jacksonville and what I just kind of saw, you know, on my travels, I'm a little bit, you know, I won't say concerned, but I just kind of...
Well, okay, what are you concerned about? You think the team's moving to London full-time?
Hey, I don't know who it is. I mean, you got the Chargers. You got a whole lot of bad things going on right now in the NFL. But
what's your concern, though? You just said you're concerned. What's your concern?
No, he didn't say he was concerned.
Yeah, you did.
Oh,
yeah,
did?
Yeah, he said he's concerned.
I heard that one.
What's your concern?
You're absolutely right, sir. I have to live in Jacksonville right now for my job.
Well, that sounds really like an endorsement of the city. I mean, so
the only thing that I see right now is that I see no improvement on this team.
Okay, that's fine. But no, what does that have to do with London? You said you're concerned about London. What are you concerned about?
Actually, I didn't get on the ground floor and invest in it, to tell you the truth. But what's ever going to happen right now here in Jacksonville, I can actually say that there's nothing that they have done to improve this team. And we may be looking at another long season here in Jacksonville.
Well, what does that have to do with London?
Yeah, I'm confused. You really confused me. Your first point was very concise and clear to the point, and then all of a sudden you started talking about London and buying property and concerning, and you're lost.
Back in the day when I used to do drive time radio, I would have dumped that call.
All right, well, I appreciate
that's Pete.
Sir.
That's Pete. That's not me. That's Pete. I'm trying to get to the bottom of it and try to understand exactly what your concern is. But
he was saying that he saw where they're clearing out land around Wembley and the NFL is coming there. But again, the logistics of playing in London, they got to work that out.
Yeah, they got some stuff to go through.
How do you use some waivers?
What does that number one have to do with Jacksonville? I mean,
he's implying that the Jaguars.
I know, but I just think
look at all the money he spent over here. That would be like one of the.
I just don't understand.
He'd be throwing money in the river better than that. Come on, this team isn't going anywhere. I'm not gonna say ever because you never know.
But no time in the near future.
No, absolutely.
The Browns were never gonna leave either. Remember that. Well, right.
If they had built the stadium, they wouldn't.
That's right.
So what is your? What
we build a stadium here in 10 years.
What about his first point? That the Jaguars did nothing in the offseason to get better or to address the weaknesses of this team.
If you look at it on the surface.
Agree or not?
He did some things, but you look at it on the surface. They brought both coordinators back. They bumped up a coach who was on the staff. They kept the same GM, and they didn't do a lot of stuff to help the offensive line. So you could see their point.
Let's come back. We'll get around the National Football League. We got to cut the team, too.
No, we don't.
As much as Doug Marone
does
not like to hear it.
I'm not doing it.
We've got to do it.
We're cutting them.
I'm not.
I am. You and me, JP.
Mainly you.
No, he's going to help too. We're going to make him do it. It's part of your radio job.
That's right. It's in the contract.
It's not my contract, but I'll do it.
Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Not hard.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Coming up at Daly's Place, Goo Goo Dolls, Saturday, September 2nd. Brian Adams, Saturday, September 9th. Zach Brown Band, Thursday, September 21st. A full schedule and tickets available at Daly'sPlace.com. We're going to go around the league in just a moment, but there's a mixed opinion of cutting this team in this room tonight. Do we have it? We got like 8 minutes. Can we do it in less than that?
We could do it quickly.
Doug Marone's case today was he didn't like hearing about it because of the players. It's a job like we talked about earlier. But
you get in this business, you know it's part of it.
It is what it is.
Part of it.
Where do you start? Or do you want to?
Yeah, we could start. Quarterbacks, do you keep three?
No.
Yes. You don't think so? You don't think they keep Brandon Allen?
Can if you want to keep the receivers.
Okay.
All
right. Running backs, keep a fullback. The fullback's not on the roster, I don't think.
Well, I don't know if he's on the roster, but they're keeping a fullback.
Right, but he's not on the roster.
They're going to keep Fournette. They're going to keep
Gene
Ivory.
Fournette. They're going to keep Gene Fournette.
Fournette.
Suit him up, Gene Fournette.
Can't throw him out.
Fournette, Ivory, Yeldon, and
Grant.
Okay.
So that's five backs. They're going to keep receiver-wise. You're going to keep six. They're going to keep
Robinson,
Lee, Westbrook, Cole.
Ben,
and
Hearns?
I'd have to go Hearns. Probably cut Rashad Green,
and you'll cut the little kid
Shane Wynn. Yes, yeah. So that's six
offensive linemen.
How many? What's the numbers we have right now on offense?
Three. That's seven.
No,
that's 13.
Two quarterbacks only.
Yeah, 13.
13. You're going to keep eight offensive linemen.
You had four running backs and one fullback, right?
Yeah.
You're going to keep eight offensive linemen.
Right.
The starting five plus Buenco, Wells, and my guess is Shatley.
That's I would agree with you.
That's eight.
Okay. Although they might get one and Chatley would
go. 21.
And then they're going to keep tight ends.
Three tight ends?
I think they'll keep Mercedes. The question is Rivera. If his hand's healthy, I think they keep him. And probably coin flip between Koyak and
Ellis. Right. Mm-hmm. And they might address that
by
picking a guy
that
up. Defensive line, four starters.
Four starters. They're going to keep nine defensive linemen.
D-line.
Fowler is five.
Sheldon Day.
Day is six.
Smoot's
seven.
Charles, does he make it?
I don't think he's had a great camp, but they got to keep somebody back there. Let's say Stephon Charles is eight.
They're not going to keep Michael Bennett.
I don't think so.
I don't.
Michael Bennett might make it over
Charles.
Yeah, if he can play. Okay. And let's say Michael Bennett is the ninth.
Linebackers.
Actually, they got to keep
another end.
Well, no, you have Clay's, Campbell, Smoot.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Linebackers.
They're going to keep five. Starting three.
Six.
You think six?
Yeah, you got to keep three for special teams.
Well, you're keeping an extra receiver for special teams.
Yeah, but they got to keep six.
Right. Okay, let's say six. So starting three plus Keem Dent.
The other ones might not
they're
be
gonna
on the
keep
roster.
They're going to keep the rookie and then another guy not on the roster.
The other guys might not be on the roster.
They're going to keep the rookie. So that's six of those, and they're going to keep five corners, four safeties.
Okay, so the five corners are three starters, counting Colvin.
Yep.
Who are the other two? They might not be on the roster. They keep Myrick?
Probably.
He might be able to be on the practice squad, though.
So they're going to keep two. I have no idea. The corners,
nobody
I can't.
Knows.
Yeah, I have nobody no idea.
Knows.
And the
four
safeties.
Safeties are easy.
Church.
Gibson.
Wilson. And
Peyton Thompson.
Who can play corner
so,
if he had
yeah.
to.
That's 48 players.
Well, you have
24 aside.
Two kickers.
Mm-hmm. It's 50. Long snapper. 51.
So you probably keep 10 DBs in.
And you'll also have an extra offensive lineman.
Oh, no. You're going to keep 10 D linemen. They'll keep two more on defense. 10 D linemen.
Yeah.
10 DBs.
Yeah.
There you have it.
It's not that. But the thing is, when they announce their cuts on Saturday,
it's not over.
You're gonna see a trend. You're gonna see guys come in on Sunday. That's gonna happen.
And the only other thing they might keep, if they only keep nine defensive linemen, they could keep that seventh receiver in Rashad Green.
I don't see that happen.
I don't either.
Unless they peddled one of them. And, you know, you've heard rumors about Hearns being peddled, but that's a big contract to take for Allen Hearns if you're a team like New England.
Mm-hmm. There's a guy down that gets us into the look around the National Football League. The Patriots lost wide receiver Julian Edelman for the season with a torn ACL. What do the Patriots do there?
You know what they do? They have Tom Brady. You know what they do? They have Tom Brady. Remember Gronk got hurt? What's going to happen to him? They have Tom Brady.
They won the Super Bowl.
I mean, the bottom line is they know how to scheme things up. Josh McDaniel's very good at scheming things up. They have guys that are versatile. You saw in the Super Bowl, James White. What did he catch? 12 passes. They split him out wide. Burkhead can play wide receiver and running back. DJ Foster with Arizona State has played wide receiver and running back. Mike Gillislee can come out of the backfield, catch the ball. They have young receivers in there like Lucien, who's played at ASU, another kid, or UCLA, I think, one of them guys. They got guys all over the place. They're not going to have any problem. Yeah, it hurts to lose Edelman. As long as Tom Brady's standing and the offensive line can block. Because remember, every time they've lost a big game, the offensive line had issues. Yep.
I agree with Pete. I mean, you don't want to lose Julian Edelman. He's an outstanding player. But we saw
Amendola take over that role.
Amendola, they lost the best tight end in football last year. And they didn't skip a beat. They won the Super Bowl.
Andrew Luck still out for the Colts. No timetable on his return. Scott Tolzien and Stephen Morris getting snaps.
Stephen Morris actually played good the other day.
That's a huge issue. That team right there.
They're dead if he's not playing.
They might. I mean, I don't know how they win a game.
They'll be the worst team in the league if he doesn't
play. Agreed.
Hey, can I say one thing real quick?
Yes. Pete, have you heard any rumblings? Is he going to be back anytime during the regular season?
Maybe after week one. That's what you hear. But who knows? You never know with a shoulder. You never know how that thing's going to go. Hey, two guys that had good pass rush games in last week, by the way. Ryan Davis and what's his name? Cap Cappy.
Cap Cappy's still bouncing around?
He's with
around.
Arizona. He had two sacks against Arizona the other night.
At what point of the game, though?
One was like in second quarter.
And who's he with?
Arizona. I don't think he'll make the team, but
is Davis still with the Cowboys?
He's with Buffalo.
He's Buffalo now. Yeah.
How's Myles Garrett playing? Because I heard
very good.
I've heard that it's impressive how he rushes
very
the quarterback.
Good. Better than I thought he was going to be. But again, it's preseason. You know, when guys got to prepare for
like,
somebody.
Is he dominant?
He doesn't have a sack yet. He's got pressures, but he hasn't had a sack yet.
Okay.
Get somebody on the ground, right?
I haven't watched one snap of
he's
him.
Been good.
I have no idea.
He's been good.
Final thought, the league did announce a statement that the preseason game between the Cowboys and Texans will be played in Dallas.
Had
so
to be. No
Texans,
way you could do anything there.
Yeah, no
the
chance.
Question is will Houston be ready to host the game opening weekend? It's supposed to rain up to 50 inches.
By Friday and stop on Friday, maybe.
Yeah, maybe stop Friday. Let's say it stops Friday or Saturday.
That's 8 days.
That's not a lot.
No, I that game might end up being moved here, but the problem is
no, it won't
flip flop them.
If you flip flop them, though, then you got three road games to end the season.
I don't think. What
will they do?
I don't know.
You have to play at another site, right? Like New Orleans is out of town. The Falcons are out of town. Dallas is at home on a Sunday night.
Play a neutral game site.
What else would you do?
Well, that's an unfair advantage to the Texans then.
I think they play here and flip it in the end of the year.
Well, then it's an unfair disadvantage to the Jaguars having to play three
by
in the road.
And that season will be long over. I don't know what you're talking
that's
about.
That's not fair, Pete.
Hey, that ship will have gone and been back around the corner already.
It's only preseason. We've got the regular season coming. That's what it counts, baby.
Yeah, show them the cards, yeah.
Hold them tight to the vest.
Pete Frisco, Tony Baselli, Max Hockman, Ashlyn Sullivan, Joe Fortunato. I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching and listening. The Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.